Good morning, Streams Church. This is me, PL. Hey, it's Sunday, May 31st, and thank you for being with us online today. But I have great news, breaking news. Next Sunday, June 7th, will be our first service on our campus in the main sanctuary. That'll be 6 p.m., a worship and prayer service going forward. We're going to have just an extended time of worship. I know we've been missing that. You can't replicate that in a home. So we're going to have a worship service, a prayer that'll help us understand how to go forward with our building with the best possible ways of security and safety. So and then June 14th, we will start our regular Sunday a.m. services. So be looking for more details coming up. We'll be explaining how that's going to work. But today, enjoy the service. Thanks for being with us. So many of you probably know at Streams, we believe that many voices direct us in wisdom and the path going forward. So we have a communications team. You won't always see me in a Sunday morning service. I've been doing a lot more speaking during this time, just so we're together in that aspect. Today, you get many of the others on our speaking team. We've been talking about how to fill that the void, or what is God doing in our lives. And we have been forced into the sound, what I call the sound of silence. And how do you handle that during these times that will prepare you for the future? So here they are. Please listen with strong intent today as they share the Word of God.
Hello, I'm Paul Michelson. We're in a sermon series that is asking the question, what in the world is God doing? In all the circumstances that we face in life, we always can look for what is God saying, because He's always speaking to us in everything, both individually and as a church. So what is God saying to us during this pandemic time that has affected us so drastically? How does He want us to respond in such a way that we are ready for the next crisis that will come down the road? Another way of saying it is, what is the new normal for us? We're going to begin today with relationship with God. I think that's the right place for us to ask the question, what is God saying? And I believe that God is wanting to simply fill our lives up with His presence, with who He is. In order to be effective in our lives, in order to have wholeness, in order to be fruitful, we need to be full of God's presence. In the scripture that I want to share with you from Isaiah, it's Isaiah 32. The prophet is addressing a time in the history of Israel when they were broken as a people. They had gone through a national disaster, and there was spiritual brokenness and devastation everywhere. And in that period of darkness, Isaiah comes with a picture of blessing and hope for the future. So he says, this is chapter 32, verse 1, a king will reign in righteousness. And that is pointing forward to the coming of Jesus and His kingdom, a kingdom of peace. And then he says, he goes on in that chapter to describe the devastation that the people are going to continue to experience. But then in verse 15, he says, that is going to continue until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. And the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is deemed a forest. God is going to, in Jesus, pour His Spirit upon us. That would be the Spirit of Christ. That would be the Spirit of God. That would be God's very presence Himself. That's the promise. He wants to fill us with Himself. It's a really beautiful metaphor, like pouring water into a vessel. Or another way to say it would be pouring the water of a river into a reservoir, filling us up with Himself, filling us up with His love, filling us up with His grace, filling us up with His very presence, who He is. So with that in mind, I want to pray with you the prayer that Paul prayed for his followers. This is out of Ephesians chapter 3, when he said, so that Christ, chapter 3, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may have a strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants to so fill our lives that we will be full of Him and operate out of that fullness in all that He wants to do in our lives. At this time, there are some others that are going to share with you some very practical ways now that we can allow God's Spirit to just fill our lives in our very being, our very soul.
Hey, what's up, Streams Church? It's Mitch here. I just wanted to bring you guys a word on scripture. We're talking about kind of building these reservoirs and practicing devotion and meditation on the Lord. And I think one of the biggest things in the building blocks of my faith has been just getting to have time reading scripture. We believe that scripture is God breathed, that is sharper than any double-edged sword, that it can cut between bone and marrow, that it can cut strongholds, that it can break chains, and that I believe that scripture is the literal word of God, and it's the main way that God speaks. I had a professor one time that says, you know, I think we're always looking for these new revelations, but God has already spoken like 95% of what we can hear from God is in the Word of God. And I believe God can speak to us through worship, through prophecy, through all these different things. But scripture is one of the main things that the ways that God speaks to us. I think that scripture is super, super important. And there's this quote that I love. It says, is that don't just read scripture, let scripture read you. And I think for me, I tell our youth students all about this all the time, is that every morning I wake up, I have the opportunity to choose God or choose the world. I have the opportunity to choose love or to choose anger or wrath. I have the opportunity to choose two paths or many paths. And when I sit down and I'm reading scripture, what I'm saying is, God, I choose you. I want to hear from you. And really, it's the submission of my will. It's the submission of my flesh. So I just want to encourage you guys today, is that no matter where you're at, no matter how you're feeling, we can go into scripture and say, God, let your word wash over me. The Bible says that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, God's word is illuminating. It's revelatory. It's cutting bone and marrow. And actually, Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I want to read this to you guys. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. See, every morning we have the opportunity to present ourselves to God and say, God, hey, I'm not enough today. God, I don't have what it takes. God, I don't feel like I have the strength. Can you give it to me? God, can you look inside my heart? Can you use your word to illuminate in my heart anything that is not pleasing to you? And I want to give that to you. And our good and gracious Father will do exactly that. And Paul continues and he says, do this as worship. See, when we read scripture, when we go into that time of devotion, when we're building those reservoirs, what we're doing is we're actually worshiping God. It says, do not be conformed. I love this part. Do not be conformed, in verse 2, to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. I love that word, transformed. It's the same word that's used as a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, this transformation. But be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, like, I love this part. It's like renewing your mind. This word renewing is a present verb. It means that we have to continue to renew our minds. It's not just a one-time thing. It's like, oh man, I did that. I went to church this week, or oh man, I was really worshiping this week. No, it's a continual renewing, and it means every day. So if we really want to build these reservoirs, if we really want to build these deep roots in the Word of God, and not just with the Word of God, but in relationship to our Father in heaven, we have to continually go to Him and say, God, speak to me through scripture, speak to me through your word, and he will speak to you. See, just this morning I was praying and I was listening to worship and reading scripture, and I felt the tangible presence of Jesus and how good he is and how much of a father he is to us, and how the Holy Spirit just comes and is that active presence. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, when we read scripture, will jump off the page and come into our hearts and like give us that peace and comfort that we cannot understand. And I know that during this time especially, we are all looking for a word of God. And that's why I love when Romans 12:2 finishing out, it says, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. See, God wants to use his word to help us, to speak to us, so that we can navigate the times. And I believe that right now there's never a better time to be in the Word of God. There's never a better time to lean in to his presence. There's never a better time to submit to him and say, God, I'm not strong enough. And let him know exactly how you feel. Let him know. Let the Bible read you. Let the Word of God read you. Let Holy Spirit begin to take root through Scripture. And then as you begin to memorize these Scriptures, quote them throughout the day, because he is an ever-present help in time of trouble. That's what Psalms 46 says, is that he is always with you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. And that's what I want to leave you guys with today, is that Scripture, when we read Scripture, it becomes a part, God's Word becomes in our hearts, and we're able to take it wherever we go. And so that's my prayer for you guys, is that we would be people that has the Word of God so deeply rooted in our hearts that we continually, it would just continually be on the forefront of our minds. So thank you guys. I love you. I miss you. Cannot wait to be with you.
Hey Streams Church, this is Jackie Owens. I'm excited to bring just a few minutes of my personal journey of having that special devotion time in personal worship with the Lord. I know that especially in these times, you just need it. You need that time to connect with the Lord. And I know when I'm not connected to Holy Spirit, when I haven't spent time alone with God, when I haven't spent time alone with Jesus, who is peace, who is my peace, then I start not acting who he's created me to be. I start acting out of my flesh and my shortcomings, and instead of out of his righteousness and out of the fruits of his Spirit. And I can always tell when I'm lacking, and I can always tell when I need to get back into his presence to be filled up and to take my eyes basically off of myself. You know, it's funny that the people that you know the best are the ones that you spend the most time with. Your spouses, your children, your family, your close friends. The people that you know to the core are the people that you spend the most time with. And so if you are spending time with the Lord, then you know his heart. You know his heart for you. You know his truth for you. And so when you are feeling out of sorts, when you're feeling imbalanced, or you're just feeling not yourself, if you're not feeling like who he's created you to be, it's probably time to get back to that special, specific time of just worship. There's really nothing more I enjoy than just soaking in his presence. And it's not just for my benefit. Is I love spending that time to just interacting with the Lord and getting impressions from him, talking with him, but just adoring him, telling him how I feel. There is something about being in his presence that always gives us an opportunity to make an exchange. And when I'm in his presence, I have the opportunity to take my eyes off of myself and place them on him. There's an opportunity for everything that's going on inside of me, into me, my anxiousness or my restlessness or my questions, to, instead of being so internal and going, just introspective, take your eyes off yourself and put them up and put them on him. There's that exchange. I'm able to lay down lies and pick up his truth. I'm able to lay down burdens, pick up his healing. You know, there is that great exchange that happens anytime we are in his presence. I love the verse in Psalm 46. I'm going to read that now. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the water surges. And then it says, be still and know that I am God. That one line is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, because it paints a picture of what it is like to be in his presence. And you can just literally break that one line down with every word. When we come before the Lord, when I become before the Lord, one, he just wants us to just be who we are, everything that we bring. You know, all of our weight, all our issues, just all of the stuff, and to come into his presence quietly, to be still, to not have distraction, to just be who we are, to just sit at his feet and to be still so we can receive, so we can listen, so we can adore him, so we can lift up praise. Be still and know that I am God. When we are still in his presence, we allow ourselves to just be. We open ourselves up for the revelation of who he says he is. And that's the know. We know, not in just our minds, but in our hearts. We know who Jesus is. We know who Holy Spirit is. We know who Father God is. And so I just encourage you in your own time to set aside some time, even if it's 5 minutes, if it's one worship song. If you do a Bethel song, it's going to be 8 minutes, so it's your choice. Take that time, those 5 to 8 minutes, and be still and know that He is God. Come as you are to just be. Be still and quiet. Allow His truth. Allow the opportunity for the exchange to happen. Whatever you are bringing, leave it at the altar. Whatever you have to give, He'll take it. He'll take your obedience. He'll take your sacrifice. Give Him a sacrifice of worship. Give Him of your time. Give Him of your energy. Give Him of your attention, of your song, of your voice. He's created those things for a reason. Be still and know that He is God. God bless you guys.
Hey, Streams Church. This is Paul Greer. I'm one of your elders. And I just want to take a few minutes this morning to share with you some ideas, some thoughts, maybe some examples on the power of personal prayer. When I think of personal prayer, I always think of the scripture in the book of James where he talks about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And effectual and fervent are the key words to me. They stand out as having power and being effective and being fervent. Years ago, I thought about fervent, and one of the Greek word studies we did on fervent really meant to be like boiling hot or bubbling over. And that's the kind of prayer I think that James was talking about. But I want to share with you an example of fervent prayer that is probably one of my favorites. It's really the story of Hannah and Hannah's prayer to have a son. And that son, of course, becomes the prophet Samuel. But Hannah's prayer, I want to read this to you. It's Eli, the priest, had come out and seen Hannah praying, and he thought she was either intoxicated or overcome with emotion for some reason or other. But this is what Hannah replies to Eli when he accuses her of not being in her right mind or maybe being intoxicated. Hannah replies and says, "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." And the priest Eli, he answers and he says, "Well, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." But Think about Hannah's prayer for just a moment. And she's crying out in anguish and grief. She's really just bearing her soul to the Lord. And I think that's what personal prayer is to me, is when I open up or when I'm able to express myself without any reservation, that's when I sense being the closest to the Lord. That's when I sense hearing His voice and knowing His presence. And sometimes that's not the kind of thing I want to put out, and if I can say it this way publicly, praying in church or praying with other folks doesn't always allow me to be open and to be without reservation. But personal prayer, when I'm alone with the Lord, there's no limitation there. There's no blocks or reservations. And it was because of the Lord's favor on Hannah, because of her pouring out of her soul this way, that the prophet Samuel was born. And, you know, he goes on to be probably, in my mind, one of the greatest, if not the greatest prophet, you know, in the Old Testament. And it says this about Samuel, and it strikes me that it says in Samuel, 1 Samuel 3, that Samuel, none of Samuel's words were dropped. His discernment, his accuracy in hearing the Lord was really without compare. Samuel was close to the Lord like his mom was close to the Lord, and able to open up and able to bear his soul, as it were. And it's in those times, to be honest with you, that I've learned, and I hope that you might even take advantage of this yourself, but that's when I've really learned to hear the voice
of God is just by spending time with him in that personal time and realizing that he wants to speak, and probably more than I want to listen. The book of Hebrews says that when we come to the Lord, we need to remember that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So just like Hannah and just like Samuel, you and I can come to the Lord in our personal time, and we can know that it's the same God that answered Hannah's prayer, that you can come before and you can say, God, this is me. This is what's going on. And I need you to guide me. I need you to lead me.